Сейчас приглашается Вольфганг Бенедек, доктор права, профессор Института международного права и международных отношений, Градский университет, директор Европейского центра по правам человека и демократии, Австрия. И после этого доклада мы сделаем небольшой перерыв для отдыха.
So good afternoon, everybody. First of all, I would like to thank the organizers for inviting me to this most interesting conference. And as you can see, I want to contribute a bit with regard to teaching human rights at the university level, at master programs. And I will go a bit beyond the Council of Europe framework when I refer also to the world program on human rights education. So let me find out about the technology. I wanted to start with a note on where I come from, and this is the city of Graz, the second largest city in Austria, which also has the second largest university. And I thought it's not without importance to mention that this city has declared itself in 2001 the first European human rights city. My center was not was responsible, I was one of the main actors in this process, and a process which has led to a number of activities which might be of general interest and which also provide a kind of framework for our human rights education activities there. I wanted just to highlight the establishment of the Human Rights Council or the Advisory Board of the City of Graz on human rights matters in 2007 and the regular annual human rights reports which this council delivers to the city. But I also wanted to highlight that, for example, when we have an election campaign, it is the Human Rights Council which monitors the elections from a human rights perspective. And that had already quite an impact when it was about racism and xenophobia against minorities, beggars, and vulnerable people. We are also part of what is called the European Cities Against Racism, which is a UNESCO-led initiative, and where cities work together in fighting racism, which exists, as we are all aware, a bit all over the world. Here you have some of the activities which are related to this human rights city status. And most important, the city has, in its human rights declaration, committed itself to base all its decisions well in the framework of human rights, and for that purpose also to take human rights education in the city very serious. So we have trainings for judges and lawyers, we have trainings for the police, we have training for city administrators, and so on. So a number of the activities, I cannot go into the details here. Now, after this introduction, I wanted to come a bit from top-down, a deductive approach, starting with the Vienna World Conference on Human Rights, 1993. I was there at the time. And one of the outcomes was also that more needs to be done with regard to human rights education. And indeed, in 1994, the UN Decade on Human Rights Education was launched, and for about 10 years, states around the world were expected to develop plans of actions on human rights education, undertake activities of all kinds. At the end, the results were not so impressive. And so the idea was, let's try a different format, different approach. And this is now the UN World Programme on Human Rights Education, which was adopted in 2004 and which started in 2005, with the first phase focusing on primary and secondary education, which I think is very logical. The second phase, in which we are now at present, was focusing on higher education and the education of professionals, executive people, law enforcement organs, and so on. And I don't know if at your respective universities that has already arrived, that we are in the focus in higher education with regard to the objectives of strengthening human rights education. Actually, there is a certain methodology which comes with this world program and its plan of action, and that means that every country is committed to first start with an analytical study of the situation regarding this sector of human rights education, then gets together all stakeholders and develop a strategy how to promote it. And then certainly the implementation and the monitoring. And you can read in the UN Office of the High Commissioner documents what have been the results so far. Again, results are not as expected, but there are some. And I can say for my own country, for Austria, we were able to do the feasibility study or the analytical study for our country, looking at human rights education and research in all Austrian universities, identifying the gaps, and then having a conference with the Ministry of Education, Science and Research, discussing how to fill these gaps, how to develop a strategy. We are now in this phase of doing so, and if you're interested, I can tell you more about it. By the way, only a few days ago, the Human Rights Council in Geneva has identified the priority for the next phase, starting in 2015, and this priority will be on human rights education and training of journalists, media workers, and so on, which I think is also very interesting. In that context, I also wanted to point out the Declaration on Human Rights Education and Training adopted in 2011 by the United Nations General Assembly. It was prepared by the Human Rights Council and then adopted by the General Assembly. I think that this declaration should be much more used because it contains a great potential with regard to the possibilities we have in our respective human rights education activities. Here I have a few lines on the analytical study, which I have just mentioned. Without going into detail, I just want to highlight that still there are universities, for example, those who educate teachers where there is not yet a systematic human rights education, and we are trying to change that, or we found that research in human rights is chronically underfunded. Certainly there are also a number of good practices, like existing master programs. There's one recently created master program at the Vienna University. At my university, we are planning to offer a certificate on human rights and practice, and so on. So there is a lot to do. What the World Programme actually also emphasizes is the importance of human rights centers in that respect. So they explicitly say that such centers should be created and should be strengthened to serve, assist the human rights education activities. When I look at University of Graz in particular, as you have now also had examples from other countries, first of all, I would just like to react to the previous discussion, and I found it very interesting to hear about the situation in France, because it's so different in Austria. In Austria, we have actually adopted the European Convention on Human and Fundamental Rights in 1964 as part of our constitutional law. And accordingly, all the courts, you can go before the courts and directly apply, have the European Convention applied, and certainly the Supreme, the Constitutional Court all the time will refer to the European Convention in its judgments. We recently, last year only, had the situation that also the Fundamental Rights Charter of the European Union was given constitutional rank in practice by the Constitutional Court. So Austria was very open to use the European Convention in its national law. And this can also be seen in a number of practical steps. For example, we are very open. Also, we didn't expect, or let's say Austria didn't expect to lose so many cases in the early phase, which had structural implications. They were in the end open to change the law. So we had a number of changes of the criminal procedure law, the penal procedure law, and of other laws. Why? Because if you do not change the law, you will have more cases of the same nature coming afterwards, which, by the way, seems to be the situation in Russia. So Austria was rather open to do these necessary structural changes, and consequently the application of the convention and the cases we lost in Strasbourg had an important structural effect on the legal situation in Austria. Today, the relevance is more in the field of asylum and refugee law, which is also very important. Article 3, Article 8, and so on, really helps poor asylum seekers in their situation because, again, we have a very restrictive regime, but we respect at the same time the judgments of the European Court. Consequently, the European Convention is also studied, and the judgments are also studied a lot in the Austrian law schools. We have it at several levels. We have it in public law, international law, in civil law, separate courses, etc. So that is one of the logical consequences, I would say. There's also one human rights center in Salzburg which publishes a newsletter with recent topical cases, and the lawyers in Austria are following this very much. Not just Austrian cases, because other cases also have impact on us. So we are interested in leading cases all around. And for example, my students are just preparing for a moot court, like we have it in other places, in order to study the convention practice more closely. So here I give you some elements what we are doing, and I end with the participation in the IMA and ERMA program. So what is that? The IMA program is the European Master Program on Human Rights and Democracy, which is taking place in Venice. It was founded in 1997, and it's maybe the largest human rights master program worldwide, because we have at the moment 96 students, and in that sense it's big. The funding, the main funding, comes from the European Union, and we have teachers there from about 41 participating universities, meaning from all European Union member states. We are working free of charge, by the way, in that program. So we have the benefit of going to Venice And most of the time we don't see it because we are teaching or we're doing other work. But it's also nice to network, and in that sense we have some indirect benefits. It's a one-year master program. The fee, I just realized, is similar like in Frankfurt on the Oder. It's 4,900 euros at the moment, still cheap compared with other programs elsewhere. And we have a first year in Venice, first semester in Venice, second semester at one of the 41 participating universities where the students are writing their master thesis. Then they come back to Venice, defend their master thesis, and being graduated in a magnificent ceremony. The Venice program is also the hub for a number of other regional programs. So I mentioned them here. The European Union is also funding or co-funding programs in Buenos Aires, Erevan, Pretoria, Sarajevo, in which we're also participating, Sydney, and now they're starting a Mediterranean master, which soon will take off. There's also some cooperation with the Friendship University in Moscow, in our master program, and the supporting structure is provided by the European Inter-University Center on Human Rights and Democracy, which also has a number of other activities. As I said, first semester it's in Venice, in the Lido. So what are we teaching here? Maybe I'll not read out all that. You can see it yourself. But just shortly, a general introduction, then historical, philosophical, religious aspects, then democratization, human rights and globalization, that's something I was responsible for. Human rights and security, including a field trip to Kosovo, which is always very educative for the students. And then a number of second stream courses, rolling seminars, projects, and what have you. So it is, as you can see, an interdisciplinary program, which has students from all over. Students can come not only from the European Union, we have quite a number of students from outside, worldwide, so including also from Russia, and if you want to know more, you just go to the EUC website. Let me just mention also the European Regional Master Program on Democratization and Human Rights, ERMA, in Sarajevo, in which our university is also participating. Here we also have a Russian partner, which is the Economic University in Moscow. Here we only have some 30 students, and again, the degree is different. It's delivered by Bologna and Sarajevo together. Also, the program is different. It's 8 months of courses in 5 clusters with a strong emphasis on philosophy, political science, and economy. But I teach there, for example, the European system of human rights together with some colleagues. We also have internship. All the students have to do an internship in a country where they do not come from, in the region, Balkan region, Southeastern Europe, and then they have time to finalize their thesis at the University of Bologna, so all brought there, and finally come back to Sarajevo for the thesis defense and graduation, which, for example, will take place this Saturday in Sarajevo. If you allow me 5 more minutes, then I wanted to introduce you quickly with a product which I thought could be interesting for all of you, and this is the ETC Manual on Human Rights Education. In 2007, we had already the opportunity to present it in Moscow. There was a conference by the Council of Europe on human rights education and democratic citizenship at the GIMO University with Mark Ennals as a partner. And there were many ombudsmen from various regions, from Russia. And so that was presented in the first version. As you can see, I have a Russian version of it. And that was translated by the Office for Democratic Institutions and Human Rights in Warsaw. In the meantime, we have moved on, and we are now in the third edition, which you can find at the website of my center, the ETC Graz, and also used free of charge as other language versions. Now, just a few words what is in there. It is a, was an initiative, goes back 10 years. A number of experts were involved in its elaboration. It was an Austrian project, but done in the framework of so-called Human Security Network. And we have a number of modules which you can use together or independently, starting from an introduction, then 16 modules on various rights, and additional resources, which makes it a handbook. And there is also something like the 30 points of dignity, a short version of the Universal Declaration, which can be used in the teaching very easily. This has been translated into a number of languages. I have an English version nicely printed here for you if you're interested. But I wanted to point out that there is also the Russian version, which you can get here, as I do not, I mean, that still waits for being printed in larger numbers. It was a Russian student of the ERMA program who has kindly translated it. Here you have the titles of the modules, and you can see it ranges from the prohibition of torture to the rights to democracy. There is central also human rights of women, religious freedoms, rights of the child, also human rights in armed conflict, and more recently we have added asylum, minority rights and privacy, which is maybe not so uninteresting if I think of a prominent asylum seeker in Moscow. Then this is the structure of each module. Again, I will not go into the details, just to say that it is a pedagogical material which starts with an illustration story and which ends with selected activities which you can do with the students in order to give them a better feeling what it is all about. And there's a lot of material you can use for that purpose. For example, this is Right to Education illustration story. So you can start from wherever you want, from the introduction or from the activity or from the material itself. And the additional resources might be quite useful. There's a lot of literature. There's a methodological chapter, methodology of human rights education. There are statistics, etc., chronology. Here you can see that we have already quite a number of translations, some 15 so far, and most of them are freely available on the website of my center because we want this to be as widely used as possible. Unfortunately, the Russian version is a bit out of date, so I'm actually looking for partners to bring it up to date to the level of the third edition, which comes from the last year, and it would be quite a good idea if we found a way during this conference of solving that problem. There's even a brochure explaining the whole process, but again, I will not go into it. You can see that some high-level people have also taken their copy. And finally, this is my center. Oh yes, one more advertisement. We also issue the European Yearbook on Human Rights. And every year we have something also on Russia there. And so if there's anybody who would like to contribute in the future to this yearbook, meaning issues related to Council of Europe, European Union, OSCE, or nationwide, you're most welcome to address us. The deadline is usually end of January, and this is also the end of my talk. Thank you.